Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Guess what day it is?
It is Sunday.
And it is the day that we do Sacrilegious Book Club.
Yeah, yeah. So what are we covering today?
We are still in the book, A Treasury of Jewish Folklore, with subtitle Stories, Traditions, Legends, Humor, Wisdom, and Folk Songs of the Jewish People. And this book was edited by Nathan Ozubel.
Okay.
Okay. And just to give you an idea of where we're at in this book, let's see. Part one was Jewish salt. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Like wisdom and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then part two is where we're at currently, heroes. And last time we were learning about different kinds of wise men. Now we are in holy men. Last time would have been pious and righteous men, but today we are learning about charitable men.
Charitable
men. On page 123.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go ahead and get into this.
Okie dokie.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, charitable men.
Okay.
And the introduction for that starts on page 123. So I'm just going to read a few snippets from the introduction.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
The giving of charity is conceived of by Jews as one of the highest forms of piety and righteousness. And further, it goes on to say that all ethics spring from the compassion aroused in us by the suffering of our fellow beings.
Well, it does actually, when you give to people, there is a physical, mm-hmm. emotional response in your brain.
Like yeah,
you,
endorphins or whatever.
Yeah, you feel good about it. So.
Yeah. So it's almost like a selfish thing.
Right.
Because you do get like that dopamine hit.
Yeah.
There's another phrase further down that says compassion must be linked to social justice, however.
Okay.
So not just giving, but like giving to people who are really needy and good people.
Got it. You know? Yeah.
So it therefore follows logically that when the poor are made wretched by poverty, they have a right to raise their voices to God in complaint as needy creditors, because he has neglected to pay them.
Mm,
so, because, okay. you know, God takes care of everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then further it says, the poor man sits and complains to God, why am I different from the rich man? He sleeps in his bed and I sleep here in the street. Therefore, if the rich man refuses to hear this legitimate complaint of the poor, it is as if he had transgressed against God himself.
Oh, wow.
As if he had denied aid to his own kith and kin.
Yeah.
So the Talmud wants you to give and to give freely and even to give above and beyond what you may think you have available.
Right.
And it says, but charity must come from the heart as well as from the pocket.
Got it.
So you can't just give. Yeah. The unwilling giver or the one who gives ostentatiously forfeits his heavenly reward.
Okay. All right.
And then charity can be expressed in more ways than just feeding the hungry or clothing the naked. It can include tending the sick and helping the crippled, supporting the weak, leading the blind. These are all acts of charity. And so is offering consolation to the afflicted and bereaved. Hospitality and assistance to travelers and strangers is a vital and practical necessity among the peoples of the East.
It's basically just good deeds.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be a dick.
Right.
You know, be actively good. Not just don't be bad, be actively good.
Right, right.
So this first story, well, actually, like, the first two kind of give a really good idea of what this section is about.
Okay.
Okay? The first one is called The Golden Ladder of Charity.
Got it.
There are 8 degrees or steps, says Maimonides, in the duty of charity. I said duty. Okay, so there's 8 steps, says this guy. Okay.
Got it. Yeah.
The first and lowest degree is to give, but with reluctance or regret. This is the gift of the hand, but not of the heart.
I thought that was completely negated, so it doesn't really do you any good.
Yeah, that's the first degree.
Okay.
Meaning you give, but
you
didn't do great.
Right.
Yeah. The second is to give cheerfully, but not proportionately to the distress of the sufferer.
Okay.
So if you have the ability to give more and you didn't, but you checked the box,
right. You're
still a dick.
Got it.
The third is to give cheerfully and proportionately, but not until we are solicited. So somebody comes knocking on your door asking for donations.
Sure.
And of course, then, yes, absolutely. You're like, yeah, let me dig into my wallet. And
but you didn't seek it out yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So starting to get for reals, you know,
right,
with the third degree.
Yeah.
Okay, the fourth degree is to give cheerfully, proportionately, and even unsolicited, but to put it in the poor man's hand, thereby exciting in him the painful emotion of shame. So you have to come up with a clever way to donate. You have to seek out opportunities to donate to him, either money or food or whatever, this right. good act. Not only do you have to seek out this needy person, but you also have to look for a creative way to not make him feel like shit that you're giving him stuff.
That's probably partly why they had that rule where you had to like leave the droppings of the mm-hmm. you know, harvest on the
Yeah, so that they had to work to pick it up.
Right, and so you weren't technically giving it to them, right. but you weren't going to stop them from taking it either.
Exactly, right. exactly.
And or like tossing a 20 down in front of somebody, but like, you know,
right.
not claiming it.
Exactly. Or like when they said that the women had to get up early on Fridays to make sure that they had food for the poor created, right. They had to make it and leave it in their windows.
Yeah.
For the poor to come by and steal.
Right.
Quote unquote.
Right.
So the fifth, that was the fourth one.
Okay.
So yep. we're really moving up here in seriousness.
Yeah.
The fifth is to give charity in such a way that the distressed may receive the bounty and know their benefactor without their being known to him. So,
So what?
Okay, so here's what it is.
The person receiving it knows who gave it to them.
Yeah.
But the person giving it doesn't know who they gave it to.
Yeah, like, they're just like, here, whatever, here's all the money.
Got it.
You know, like, I donated, but I don't have to have your suffering in my face.
Right, right.
So it's like giving to an organization.
But that's a one way to avoid them feeling shame because they're mm-hmm. not being given it directly to them.
Well, you're not having to deal with the shame that they may or may not have.
Right, right.
But it's I put it more as giving to an organization.
Sure.
So such was the conduct of some of our ancestors who used to tie up money in the hind quarters of their cloaks so that the poor might take it unperceived.
Ah.
So,
yeah,
a pickpocket.
Right. I'm sure there was never like a rich person who just like knew that this was happening.
Right.
They're like, hey, I know a way to make some extra money. Mm-hmm. Let's just go out and fucking, you know, do this.
Pickpocket.
Just make yourself look a little grungy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that in these societies, there would have maybe been somebody who was shitty like that, but they would have been scorned by their society if anybody
right.
found out.
Yeah.
And society was very, like, tight-knit. Like, it was right. very important. So to have that sense of shame in your community actually meant something
sure.
that we don't have today, for better or for worse.
Right.
I'm not saying that shame is a great tool, but I'm also not going to say that it's entirely inefficient.
Right.
So the sixth degree, which rises still higher, is to know the objects of our bounty, but remain unknown to them.
Okay.
So I've given, but they don't know where it came from.
Got it.
Such was the conduct of those of our ancestors who used to convey their charitable gifts into poor people's dwellings, taking care that our own persons and names should remain unknown. So can't do anonymous giving.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
Which I don't really understand. Like, I don't need you to sing my praises. The whole point is that I'm giving it to you. But.
Right.
So.
I thought this was the options are getting better as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
So, like, these are the better ways to do it at the end of this list.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought it was still, like, complaining.
No, I'm, this is the ladder of charity. So, like, the worst way you can give is the first one we said.
Okay, got it.
And then it gets better as we go along.
Okay. Well, the seventh is still more meritorious, namely to bestow charity in such a way that the benefactor may not know the relieved persons, nor they the name of their benefactor. This was done by our charitable forefathers during the existence of the temple, for there was in that holy building a place called the Chamber of Silence, or Inostentation, wherein the good deposited secretly whatever their generous hearts suggested, and from which the most respectable poor families were maintained with equal secrecy.
But only the most respectable ones.
Yeah, the respectable poor families. Right. Not the shitty ones that had leprosy.
Yeah.
Not those guys.
Right.
Not the ones that the men were honest about their nocturnal emissions.
In order to, you know, to be poor, you got to be respectable and poor.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be respectable. But, you know, if you're poor, you better be respectable.
You got to lie about your nocturnal emissions.
Or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, you got to be respectable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In your poorness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lastly, the eighth and most meritorious of all is to anticipate charity by preventing poverty. Namely, to assist the reduced brother either by considerable gift or a loan of money, or by teaching him a trade, or by putting him in a way of business so that he may earn an honest livelihood, and not be forced to the dreadful alternative of holding up his hand for charity. And to this scripture alludes when it says, "And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt support him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee." And this is the highest step and the summit of charity's golden ladder.
So training someone to succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like give a man a fish.
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Teach him
that.
To fish for himself.
Right.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to the last point where they were talking about the respectable poor.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it leaves open a lot of room for people to judge who's worthy and not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, well, that family. I'm not going to help them. They're not respectable.
Yeah.
You know, but if they were respectable, I would totally give to them. But they're not. They're not right. respectable.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you're supposed to give regardless.
Right.
You know, without judgment.
It sounds more like a plan for people who were recently in good standing who fell from grace.
Like, yeah.
Well, they're still good right now. We need to get them back on their feet. But if you were already poor and like,
you
and
clearly,
down and out and shit. They're like, you're not very fucking respectable. Because, yeah. I mean, look at you. You're all dirty and Jesus.
You have leprosy.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. And clearly you did something to earn this misfortune.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how people, you know, go about things today.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very similar. You were saying the shame's not there, but the shame is there. Like people don't go to... You have to go to certain buildings in the world to apply for your benefits that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And a respectable, quote-unquote, person wouldn't be caught dead there.
Right, right, that's true.
No, I mean, like, it's a shameful act if you have to go do that for many people.
It's true.
So it's still, this whole system, this whole thing still applies very much so today.
It does. I would say not to the same degree because... We might be embarrassed, but we're not going to be shunned out of our community.
Right, right.
These people might have been shunned out of their community.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, we would be like, well, fuck you. Got to do what I got to do.
Right, right.
You know?
Yep.
So the next one is called Qualifications for Paradise. And I thought this one was nice.
Okay.
The gates of paradise stood open, and the procession of the souls of men reached to the heavenly tribunal. First came a rabbi. "I'm learned in the law," he said. "Night and day have I pored over the word of God. I therefore deserve a place in paradise." "Just a moment," called out the recording angel. "First we must make an investigation. We've got to find out what was the motive for your study. Did you apply yourself to learning for its own sake? Was it for the sake of honor or for mercenary reasons?"
Mercenary reasons?
Hmm. Like to sell off your skill.
Got it.
Next came a saintly man. "How I fasted in the life I left behind. I observed all the 613 religious duties scrupulously." You said duties. "I bathed several times a day and I studied the mysteries of the Zohar ceaselessly."
Hmm.
"Just a moment. Moment. I was trying to say moment.
Yeah.
And it came out minute.
Got it.
And so I messed that up.
Okay.
"Just a moment," cried the recording angel. "We first have to make our investigation about the purity of your intentions."
Okay.
"Then a tavern keeper approached. He said simply, "My door was always open to the homeless, and I fed whoever was in need and hungry."
Yeah.
"Open the gates of paradise," cried the recording angel. "No investigation is needed." Because
it's about your actions, not your,
And not just your actions, but like your motives.
Right. Well, it's one of my biggest complaints about Christianity in general is that you get to hear people talk about their piousness and their Christianity and their belief systems all the time.
Right.
But it's much, much more rare that you see someone just living that life and showing what they believe.
Right.
I don't think there's a lot of great examples of that. And even when people are generally doing it, and I, you know, we're all busy. It's hard to be the most wonderful person on the planet, right? But if you're going to pitch it to me as something that I need to convert to because I need to believe in these values, then you should be leading by example, not telling me I need to do this, but then, you know, being an asshole on the side.
Right, right.
That's all. This guy was obviously, like, I mean, there's just people that are genuinely good people that try to help people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the moral of the story for me. Like, I think that that applies to whether you're religious or not. There are good people, there are normal people, and then there's shitty people.
And I think you have to hold me back because I try to give everything away.
Oh, God, yeah. No, there's people that, no. Wife would literally help people into our own demise.
I have done that.
And, yeah, has literally done that. Yeah. So
I give to my own detriment. It's
well,
true.
To be fair, you don't really have a good, like, running tally of what it means to give something. Like, your calculator is broken in your head.
My calculator is broken, but it's always, like, you ask me if I can do something. If I'm able, the answer is yes.
Right.
Like, whether or not I should, whether or not, you know, I'm tired or I'm sick, if I can, the answer is yes.
But to the detriment sometimes.
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. You know. That's what I'm saying. And, like, if you ask me for some physical item that you need, even if I need it, like, the answer is yes, you can have it. Because I think it's a response to how I was raised, where everything was mine, you know?
Right.
And there was no sharing, there was hoarding. And so now I'm just like, I don't want to be a hoarder and I don't want to be selfish. So it's like, in response to that, give everything away and then I can be considered a good person. So it's not completely altruistic.
Right. No, I get it. And I struggle because there's things that I would like to do, but at the same time, I think part of being a good person is making sure that you and your own are able to live first. You know, like, I mean, my family is very important to me.
Put on your oxygen mask before you help the one next to you.
And that's not that I'm not against helping people. I am definitely all for helping people.
No, I know that.
Insofar as that my capacity allows me to do so.
You're more practical, and I am flighty. I mean, I'm a fucking flake.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
I mean.
So, but we keep each other balanced.
This was more earlier on in our relationship. We've come to an understanding as to how much charity shall be given.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, like, I'm always like, give it all. And you're like, no.
Right.
And then I'm like, give some. And you're like, okay. And then, you know, we come to a agreement.
Right.
But I think without the other one to balance, you would be a lot more tight-fisted and would be stupid generous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
you would go live at the women's shelter and give away your entire paycheck to help people out.
I would.
And then you'd offer them half your cot at the women's shelter too.
I would. I would. And part of it is just to undo like my programming and to be considered a good person, but part of it is like I want to do what was never done for me.
Sure.
Like I was, you know, I grew up poor and I didn't have anybody in my life that was like, I'll give you everything.
Right.
And there were people with money around us who were not helpful. I don't have money, but I want to live as though I do. so that I can help people the way that they didn't help me.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess either way, it's not very altruistic. It's kind of bitter. I guess I really am an asshole deep on the inside, but I mean,
I'm more of the, you know, when I see the guy delivering his beer to the gas station convenience store and he needs to get through the door, I'm the guy that opens the door and makes sure he can get through. Like, I mean, that's my altruism. You know, like, if I can do some small act to help somebody.
I do, you know, that, but I mean, I thought that
make was make their life easier. That's the way I look at it.
I thought that's the smallest expectation.
Oh, most people wouldn't do that.
Nuh-uh.
Watch in the world.
I have better... I have a much kinder view of humanity than you do.
I don't.
And that's funny because I'm the curmudgeon. I'm the asshole. I'm the one that says, I hate people. All right. Well, the next story is called Paradise Gained? Question mark?
All right.
A pious man asked his rabbi, what must I do to deserve paradise? The rabbi pondered and replied, three things you must observe to earn the everlasting life. You must give alms, care for the sick, and bury the dead. The man thanked the rabbi and left. On the way home, he met a crippled beggar. At once, he recalled the rabbi's words and took the unfortunate man home. He set a lavish dinner before him and praised God that he had, with this deed, fulfilled the first precept. Unfortunately, the beggar fell sick because he had overeaten. So the pious man put him to bed and gave him a physic. Then he bethought himself of the rabbi's second precept, and he
rejoiced. He's knocking this all out with one guy. Now the guy's going to die.
He rejoiced that he had fulfilled it already.
He's going to die, right?
But during the night, the condition of the beggar grew suddenly worse, and he
died.
He died. Yeah. You called it. When morning came, the pious man helped prepare him for burial and laid him to rest in the Jewish cemetery. Then, turning his eyes heavenward, he rejoiced, praised be the Lord who has made it so easy for man to enter paradise.
You literally fed this guy his last meal. Right? Maybe killed him with food poisoning. I don't know. And then, wow.
And praise Jesus, you know?
Yeah, that's not, well, it wouldn't have been Jesus, but.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But the sentiment stands.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one made me laugh. I was like, okay, I don't think that that's what you meant.
Right.
Okay, the next one is called The Rabbi's Advice.
Okay.
A wealthy Hasid once came to the great preacher, Rabbi Dovber, and asked him for his blessings. Tell me, asked the rabbi, do you eat well? I live very modestly, answered the rich man, thinking that thereby he would gain the praise of the rabbi. My meals consist of a dry crust with salt.
Mm.
The rabbi regarded his petitioner with scorn. Why do you stint yourself meat and wine, food appropriate to a man of wealth like you? He asked. And he continued to speak so harshly to him that the bewildered Hasid promised faithfully that in the future he would eat meat and drink wine.
Mm. Okay.
The rabbi's counsel filled the disciples with amazement. And so when the Hasid had gone away, they asked, what is the meaning of all this, Rabbi?
Yeah.
What earthly difference does it make whether this man eats bread and salt or meat and wine? Okay, I love this. This is relevant today.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Dovber smiled and said, if this rich man lives well and his meals consist of meat and wine as well as he can afford, then at least it will be possible for him to grasp the fact that the poor can dine only on a dry crust with salt. However, when he denies himself all the pleasures of life, even if out of piety, then he will soon begin to think that the poor ought to eat stones.
Mm. Got it. It's kind of like the Ebenezer Scrooge version, like, you know,
well,
if it's all about the money and the wealth. And
the way I look at it is it's a lot like the SNAP challenge, you know,
right,
where people, I have such a problem with the SNAP challenge because for those who aren't aware, it's the welfare benefits that people receive. And there's a challenge for people to try to live though they are within those means.
Right.
So, you know, you're not allowed to, for that month or that week or whatever, you're not allowed to buy your fancy yogurt or,
right,
you know, your avocados or what the fuck ever. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's supposed to give people with money a sense of what it's like to be on an extremely limited budget. But the problem with it is that it doesn't convey the feelings of panic that persist. Like, it right. cannot possibly help somebody with money understand that, yeah, but once this month is over, like, I still have to live this way. Yeah. And it's not just the limited budget for my groceries. It's also, if my car breaks down, I'm done. I'm done for.
Right.
You know, if somebody cancels on babysitting, I don't have a backup.
Yeah.
Because everybody I know works. Or is old or dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's.
Yeah, basically they're taking one aspect of what poor people go through, the food, the amount of food that they're allowed to get.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, these people are starting on a beginning basis that has stuff in their refrigerator yeah. already.
They already have spices and ketchup in right. stock. Yeah. They already have a full tank of gas when they start.
Right.
So it's not realistic, and it gives people the false understanding of what it's like to live poor.
Right.
And it allows them to pat themselves on the back, pretending that they have sacrificed, like, oh, now I know how hard it is. No, you fucking don't.
Right.
You have no idea. If you have never lived paycheck to paycheck, hoping that an appliance or a vehicle doesn't break down, and I'm not wishing that on people, but if you've never lived that way, get the fuck out of here. You don't know what it's like to be poor.
Right.
If you are telling people, oh, well, you just need to cut coupons and bring lunch to work instead of ordering, fuck you. Fuck you, because you don't know what it's like. And people that are poor don't need to be told to fucking do that.
Right.
They were already doing that. Or they look at you and be like, your coupons are fucking garbage because your coupons are for fucking brand name shit that I can't afford even with the coupon.
Right.
So, I didn't mean to get all heated up, but the rabbi's advice, like, it struck me, like, right to my core.
Yeah.
It hit that truth of, no, this rich man trying to eat poor and give himself, you know, that credit, I'm not going to allow him to have that. Fuck that rich guy. He can just go eat his steak and drink his wine and, you know, fuck ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry. This is getting long. I know. I got a little emotional there. So let me see if we have any more stories to share. I thought there was one more, but no, that was the last one.
Oh, okay. That was the last one.
I think that was the last one because it got me so worked up.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, I lied. No, there's one more. There's one more.
Now that we've lost half of our audience.
No, we didn't. They love it when I go off. Because I got shit to say.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Here's the last one.
Okay.
The rabbi's only possession.
Only?
Only possession.
Okay.
The rabbi of the town called on the richest man in the community and urged him to donate a sizable sum to the orphan asylum. The rich man bluntly turned him down.
Oh, damn.
I will sell you my share in paradise if you will give me the money, said the rabbi.
Oh, wow.
The rich man agreed. Overjoyed, the rabbi used the money for enlarging the orphan asylum. When the rabbi's disciples heard of this, they stood aghast. Rabbi, they remonstrated, how could you possibly do a thing like that? 2 times a day, I repeat in my prayers, love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy possessions. My sons, I'm only a poor man. What are the possessions with which I can serve God? All that I possess is my share in paradise. And to serve God's children, his orphans, I am ready to part with even that.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought that was like, wow.
Right.
That like undoes the angsty, pissy, bitter anger that I had over the last one.
I mean, that's well-placed giving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. I don't think that that's a real thing.
But I have.
But if you can convince somebody for the betterment of children
mm-hmm.
to buy your, you know,
your place non-existent in heaven.
Thing,
right,
and donate money, then hell, yeah, do it. You know,
right.
And I know that this person probably fully believes that he was actually doing this or something,
right?
But let's be honest. Like, if there really is a God, you just solidified your place, and the other guy is still going to get sent to hell because he's doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because he's doing it to,
basically you just duped the guy. You're willing to do it. You mean it, but you still duped the guy, because if God were true,
yeah,
that would not hold up as a valid reason to get into fucking heaven.
You
or
can't
whatever.
Sell your slot. It's right. not a cemetery plot, you guys.
Yeah. But I mean, but the sentiment, you know, like he's, I get the sentiment like that. And that's like,
he's giving up the only thing he has to give.
Right.
And there's something beautiful in that sacrifice.
I agree.
So, all right.
All right.
Now that I've both gone off and then come back down, I think we're done.
All right. Well, that was our book club for today.
It was. And next time we will be reading about martyrs on page 145.
Okay.
But next week will be our Patreon episode.
Right.
And then the week after that, we'll come back to book club.
Yep. You got it. And today I'm still going to be getting out the weekly replay. And then we'll be back tomorrow, as always, with
Nehemiah chapter 9?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you guys then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.